So we started asking the question. We're talking about, how many know what series we're talking about? Preparing ourselves for the second coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. I know you've heard that for many of you. You've been coming to the church for a long time. You've heard that over and over again. It doesn't change. Here's the reality. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And everyone is going to understand this. Let me pause and just talk to the audience watching on the internet. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you are connected with us. We're excited to preach the uncompromised word of God to you. And I'm glad that you're taking the time in your busy schedule to say, no, 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 God is important. And I'm going to clue in and I'm going to connect. And so, you know what, for that, I'm grateful. And I encourage that that there's something that's going to be preached today that's going to change your life forever. Forever, absolutely. So here's the reality. In the Bible, we have things that God said are going to happen. And up to this point, not everything that God has said has happened yet. Say has happened yet. But there were things like the flood and Noah for over 100 years preached and taught and forewarned the people that God was going to send a flood. Well, here's what I want to say. At some point in time, listen, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's word is never going to pass away. There is nothing more true. There is nothing more sure. There's nothing more accurate. How many have the belt of truth on today? Amen. I don't know about you, but I put the belt of truth on today. I don't leave my house without the belt of truth. And the reality is everything in the Word of God, everything that God has said will come to place, will happen. And so God said, it's going to flood, it's going to flood, it's going to flood, it's going to flood. But at some point in time, after year 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 after it not happening, how many know some people can get skeptical and think, oh yeah, that was a religious people, they're wacky and all this. You know, hey, listen, you can be skeptical, but here's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, the reality is, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. It means the fear of the Lord, when it's talking about that, it's just saying that everything God said is going to happen. That's wisdom. When you start believing everything God said, now you're going to start to walk in a wisdom that you've never walked in before. And trust me, everybody's going to know what I'm saying is true. Everyone's going to know everything that I'm saying is true. The question is, when you recognize it, you know, whoever, you know what, you know, some basketball player can shoot a shot, but after the buzzer, you know, goes off, how many know there is a time when God says that's enough? How many know there is a time? Come on, help me preach this, somebody, when God says that's not enough. Why hasn't he come back already? What does the Bible say? Because his will is that no one would perish. But he is coming back. So my question for you today is, those people that were cynical and that mocked Noah, and there were a ton of them. How many know there were a lot of them? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and few are those who find it. But what does the Bible say about the road that goes to destruction? Is it narrow or wide? Is it medium? Is it medium? Is it medium? It's not medium. It's what is it? It's wide. Amen. And so the reality is, those people that mocked and they're cynical and, oh, you know what, I heard somebody the other day, you know what, just talk, and I just thought, are you, people choose to reject God. Yes. Why? Because the Bible says, we just read it. How many are with me in Romans? How many watch every Monday through Friday? In Romans. We're in Romans. You don't want to miss it. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock. It's outstanding. But right in the first chapter, the Bible says that men are without excuse. Why? Because you see God in his handiwork. You see God in his beauty. You see God, you know what? I'm telling you, I'm gonna bring Nigel soon. That's Tyler's dog. You know what? I'm telling you what, I'm just gonna bring, why are you gonna bring Nigel? Because I'm gonna show you how God is real. You can't spend 5 minutes with this dog and not go. You know what? That, listen, it's not accident these things are happening. So at some point in time, as that water is rising. See, I think a bunch of people were laughing when the water started to fall down. Oh, yeah. But my question is, at what point in time does somebody come to the reality that what God said is true is true? Was it when it was at their ankles? Did somebody clue in at their ankles? Did somebody clue in when the water got, because you know the water was rising. Amen? Was it when it was at their knees? Did some other people go, oh, maybe Noah was right? Was there some waste people? Amen? They were like, this is still, nope. But when it got to their waist, they thought, oh. Was it chest people? Was it neck people? Was it nose people? See, at some point in time, every single person recognized that the flood, that what Noah said was true. And I'm telling you, I'm prophetically, you know what, one of my positions as a senior pastor here is to warn you, and I'm warning every single one of you, along with those, not in a condescending way. Listen, I need help just like you need help. But there are some things that I know to be true, and this is one of them, that everything that is written in here is going to come. If it hasn't come to pass already, it's going to come to pass. Old Testament people, prophetic people who prophesied that Jesus was going to die on a cross, be crucified, even before crucifixion was ever invented by the Romans, they prophesied it. How in the world did they do that? Because God knows the beginning from the end. How in the world, when all the scientists, the top scientists in the world said that the world was flat, God said, no, it's a sphere, it's round. How did they know that? Let me tell you what, because God knows the beginning from the end. And I'm telling you, he made it exactly. He made you. And he made you that you would have relationship with Christ, not because you're forced to, but because, not because you have to, but because you get to, or because you want to. Can somebody say amen to this? So Jesus is coming back. That's a reality. But when he comes back, he's looking for something. Do you know what he's looking for when he comes back? Come on, y'all ought to know this. What's he looking for? He's looking for faith. Somebody say he's looking for faith. Say he's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. And he's looking for faith. Now, what is faith? Let's define it. Faith is simply trusting in God. That's the main thing when he comes back. Jesus said this, when I come back to this earth, I'm going to be looking for something. I want to know, are there people that trust me, listen to me, beyond what they see? The Bible says the just shall live by their faith, the Old Testament says. And then the New Testament says the just shall live by faith. The just shall walk as we're walking through our day. We should trust God. And he's looking, when he comes back, he's looking for people that will put their trust in God. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. And that would make sense, does it not? We talked about it last week. You know, in a good relationship, part of the foundation is trust. Does this make sense? You ever have somebody and you're telling them their truth, but they don't believe you? You ever experienced that? And you're like, man, I'm telling you the truth. Oh, yeah, right. See, that hurts relationship. Good relationship is a foundation of it is trust. And God wants us to put our trust in him. Now, Jesus says this. He says, remember we looked at it last week in Luke chapter 18. And he's telling this story. He's saying there's this lady, and she goes to her this judge, and she wants some help. And here's the thing. After this story, and finally the judge helps this lady out. And then the Bible says, then the Bible says, and if this lady gets some help and this judge is unjust, he says that God is going to quickly respond to your request because you are a child of God. Amen. But then he says this. He says, but when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on this earth? And we started to say, why did he say that? Well, I'm going to tell you in a little bit the second reason. But first, let me remind you what the first reason is. The first reason is because when Jesus was walking around on this earth, even the apostles sometimes didn't trust Jesus. Remember we looked at it last week? That big, you know what? They were in the boat. Jesus was sleeping on the bottom. Remember this? And the flood came. I mean, just a big storm, mega storm. And it comes, and they go downstairs, and they go downstairs. what do they call the I don't know, whatever. The stern, thank you. They go to the stern, and Jesus is sleeping on a what? Come on, help me preach this. What's he sleeping on? On a pillow, the Bible said. You know what I mean? On a pillow. I wonder if they got it from the pillow guy. I don't know. Yeah, right? He has a couple commercials on TV, does he not? Mike Lindell, is that okay? I don't know. Probably not. Okay. But he's on a pillow, and watch this. And remember what they say? Imagine saying this to God. Don't you care? We're going to die. And then we saw in the scripture, remember, this is just review, but we got to get this. Remember, before they leave, Jesus says, get in the boat because we're going to go to the other side. Now, let's pause here for a minute. Let me teach you what God wants. God wants, when he tells us something, for us to believe him. So he goes up to the top of the boat. He speaks to the wind, tells it to stop. These guys are freaking out. Whoa! And then Jesus does something very interesting. Then he goes to the apostles and he gets in their face and he says, where's your faith? Now, most of us would look at that and say, I don't get that. These guys were freaked out. There's all this water going on the boat. They're thinking the thing's going to go down. They're thinking they're going to die, and they're down there waking him up. And then Jesus has the gall to correct them after and go, I'm paraphrasing, what is your problem, guys? Well, let me tell you what his problem was. When God says something, I'm just teaching you the word of God. You can get upset. You can argue with me. Listen, we can do two things. We can either say God is right and let him correct us, or we can keep on going in our crazy life. Amen? I don't know about you. I want to be corrected by God. I want to allow God's word to correct me. I want to walk in humility. I want to say he is the potter and I'm the clay. That's what I want to say. I want to say, let God be true and every man a liar. Let me get corrected. I want to say this. God's way. I want to come in a realization that God's ways are higher than my ways. And I want to stop my foolishness of thinking I know everything and I'm going to tell God what's up. I want to stop that. And I want the body of Christ to stop that. God is saying this, and you can't come up with different theology because this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, if I told you this, then what I'm looking for are those people in the midst of a storm to believe what I'm saying is true. For the just shall live by their trust in God. I want you to trust in me when there is a storm. I want you to trust in me when it doesn't look like it's going to turn out well. I want you to trust in me. Whatever I say is true, that you don't care, you're not moved, for the just shall live by their trust in God. That's what God is looking for. And up to this point, even with the apostles, he sees these men that he's poured out his life in, and they, for some reason, won't trust him. And what we need to be very careful not to do is to side with them. Well, after all, Pastor, the storm was big, and it was... No, we need to say no. As far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And what we're going to do is we're going to put our trust in God. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in boats. Some trust in their jobs. Some trust in their doctors. Some trust in their lawyers. Some trust, but I'm going to put my trust in Christ. Because I understand that is the only thing. He is the only one that is real. He is the only one that you can really trust in what he says. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so he gets to this point and he's saying, when I come back, will I see faith? Will I find people who trust me? Because so far I've spent so much time. We don't have time for this, but I'll just quote it to you. There's a point in time in the New Testament and these people are saying, God, just show us a sign and we'll believe. Can I tell you what happened? Just days before, he had just shown them, he had just fed 5,000 men, and not including women and children. 5,000 at a couple of loaves of bread, five loaves and a couple of fish. Fed 5,000. And they're going to come into you and say, I'll tell you what, if you just show me a sign, I'll believe you. Remember when Lazarus said, you know what? Oh, let me go up and tell my brothers and sisters, you know what, that I was wrong, that there really is eternal punishment, that I would save them from that. And what does God say? Do you remember what he says? He says, listen, if they don't believe the prophets, see, they already have the word of God. How many know the Old Testament is the word of God? How many know the Old Testament is the word of God? They already had with the prophets. Prophets were already told them. He said, if they don't believe the prophets, they're not going to believe you. See, belief is a choice that you're going to make to believe. And here's what I want you to understand. God wants you to believe beyond your circumstances. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we have Christians today, and they're going to try to talk you out of believing God. And they're going to even come and say, no, that's not real wisdom. You know, you have to be balanced. Can I teach you the truth? Balanced is not, you know what, balance a bunch of unbelief with a bunch of belief. And somewhere in between, you know what, that's balance. That is not biblical balance. James says, if you pray and don't believe, don't even expect to receive. See, listen, these are poignant scriptures that most people in the body of Christ have just mocked and just thought it to be craziness. But these are poignant. These are jugular passages in the Bible that God is instructing us. And he's saying, when I come back, am I going to find anyone who really trusts me? So my question for you today is this. Would you get out of the boat? What I mean? Remember Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And what did Jesus say? He said, come. What do they have? They have the word on it. Would you be one of those that got out of the boat? Would you be one of the servants when Jesus said, fill the pots with water? Would you fill the pot with water? Would you be the person after the mud was put on your eyes that had to trust in God? See, remember the guy that was blind? Jesus puts mud on his eyes. Here, this is deep. What does he have right now? Is he still blind? Oh, he's blind. He's still completely blind. Now he's blind, but he's got mud on his eyes. See, would you be the person who walks and washes the mud off? Would you get out of the boat? Would you fill the water pots with water? Would you cast your net on the other side? Would you stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon those people? Would you walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times? What did they say after day one? What did they see after day one? Come on, help me out. Help me preach this. What did they see after day one? What did they see? Nothing. Were the walls still there? What did they see after day two? After day three? After day four? After day five? After day six? See, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. The Bible says this. The Bible says that the Old Testament people received the promises of God through faith and through their trust in God. Amen. That's what the Bible says. What is God looking for? He's looking for you're willing to trust him beyond what you see. And even churches now mock people who would preach that you need to believe God's word above what you see. But I don't mock it, because I'm a proclaimer of the truth. You know why I don't mock it? Because I got my belt on today. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. I got the belt on. Amen. And I'm keeping the belt on. Because with that, the Bible says we are, taking the shield of faith. I got the belt on and I got the shield of faith up today. The Bible says with the shield of faith, you will be able to do what? Quench how many fiery darts? All the fiery darts of the enemy. See, this trust in God is so jugular to our relationship with God. The Bible says that faith worketh by what? Do you know? Faith worketh by, come on, we sing it. You want to sing it to you? Faith worketh by love. Heavenly love working in. Got it? Bible says faith works by love. What does that mean? Here's what it means. That when I have a deep, intimate relationship with God, when I have a deep, intimate relationship with God, my trust in him supersedes what I can see, what I can feel, what things look like. We see this in the Bible. The Bible says that Sarah, you know what? She didn't reckon the deadness of her womb, but she trusted in the word of God that he would keep his promise. And granted, you can see Sarah for a time, man, she went back and forth and back and forth, but at some point in time she recognized it is impossible for God to lie. See, we don't understand this. I listen to secular people, I listen to atheists mock the Old Testament stories. But they mock because they don't know. They mock Abraham as God is asking. Can I teach somebody this? They mock Abraham because they mock a God that would ask somebody to kill their son. And watch this. You can't take this. You can't read this without a context of relationship. It's impossible to do. You won't even get this. You'll come up with the same kind of mocking. You're like, what kind of, no, can I tell you what kind of God did this? A God that is looking for people who will trust in him. You know what he is? He's a covenant God. And here's what God says. Here's my covenant with you. I will give you everything that I have. I will withhold nothing from you. Do you understand covenant, right? Covenant is you get what I got and I get what you got. That's covenant. What does he get? What does God get from us? Your drunken, crazy, angry, foolishness. Come on. Laziness. Come on, help me preach this. Does anybody remember before they were saved what their life was like? Hello? Out of control? Thank you. Somebody help me preach this. Darkness, selfish, help me preach this. What does he get? Misery, anguish, empty, no way out, no cure for anything. Go to the doctors and hope they're going to come up with something. And if they tell you go home and get your place in order, you got no hope. Hopelessness, that's all what he gets. Oh, hallelujah. What do we get? He who knew no sin became sin for us. How many know I also got the breastplate of righteousness on today? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the what? Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in a time of need. Amen. Why can I come and receive? Why is God just and faithful to forgive us for all unrighteousness? You know why he's just? You know why it's okay for him to do that? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. He's just to forgive us. Why? Because his son paid it all. He gets, how many know? This is quite a deal for us. It's the great exchange. He gets what we get and we get what he... Everything we have belongs to him. And everything he has belongs to us. Now let's put that in context. Now let's go back to putting the word in context. What's going on now? Now God says, hey, you know your son that I promised you to you and Sarah? Sarah couldn't even have kids when she was young. She was barren. Yeah. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it I can do. See, listen. He's going to take care of you. But he can't take care of us if we don't put our trust in him. And the Bible says we're condemned in even what we eat. Why? Because we haven't put our trust in him. And then it says anything you do, guys, put this back up here as soon as you can. Anything that you do that isn't trusting in me, what's he call it? He calls it sin. Wow. Are you hearing what God's saying? How many hearing what God's saying to us today? How many hearing what God's saying? How many hear what God is saying to us today? See, how many know we live in a different time? We live in a different world. We maybe could have got away with it in the 60s, maybe in the 70s, maybe in the 80s, maybe in the 90s, maybe 2000, maybe 10 years ago, maybe even 10 months ago. But we are at a place now that we have to recognize God is looking for us to fully trust and believe in him. Amen. Let me say this. Truth be told. Any of those times you couldn't even survive without God anyway. But the separation, that mediocrity, it's just getting that. remember that movie, and they had that. You sent me a picture, and they had that basketball court, and it opens up to the pool. How many know that is happening spiritually right now? And that wall of that middle ground is closing and closing. Amen? Are you learning something today? God wants us to put our trust in Him. Turn to Matthew. This is such a great scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Starting with verse 5, of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion. Why is that significant? Because he's not Jewish. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only what? Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does this. Then Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to those who followed. You know what he did? Say, Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. Why? Here's why he marveled. Because here's this guy, and this guy says this. All you got to do is say a word, and it'll be done. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to say the same thing. God, all you have to do, all I have to do is see it in the Word of God, and I'm going to believe it. Because here's what I believe. I believe what you say. You know, there's two times in the whole New Testament you're going to find Jesus marveling. Can I tell you the other time? Here's the one. The other time was when Jesus goes into his hometown. Jesus goes into his hometown, and the Bible says this, he can't do many works except heal a few from minor ailments. That is the time he said he marveled in their unbelief. But here this guy says, all you have to do is speak a word. Look what Jesus says. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such what? Great what? Not in, even in Israel. What is that significant? Why is that significant? Here's why. Because all the Israel people for years and years and years, for hundreds of years and even thousands of years, they had a relationship with God. They were trained about the things of God. These people should have been the first to say, I tell you what, if God says it, you can count on it. But instead, this guy who is a centurion, not even Jewish, he's the one who says, all you have to do is say a word. Turn to, you're there, turn on over a little to the right to Matthew chapter 14. Actually, let's go back to go to Mark 16. Let me show you something in Mark 16 first. Mark 16. Yeah. Let's start with verse 5. And entering the tomb, he saw a young man clothed they saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. What is this? This is Easter Sunday. First Easter Sunday. And they come to the tomb and they see this. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Now, here's what I want to catch. Look at your neighbor and say, "This is a training center." Go back to the seventh verse in the back. Now look what he says. "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, where you will see him." But here's what I wanted to catch. What's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Read me the last five words in that verse. Go ahead. Ready? Go ahead. Ready, read. One more time. Okay, this is deep. What does that mean? Thank you. Thank you. Jesus already told them what he was going to do. Everybody say, "As he said to you." Okay. Just for the fun of it, you don't even have to turn there, but we'll have through technology. Guys in the back, go to Matthew 26, 31, 32. Guys in the back, do you have that? Okay, well, I have it, so listen. Oh, there we go. "And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble." What is he saying this? This is Jesus. Follow me. Stay with me. This is Jesus. He is, where is he saying this? He is at the table. What do they call? Oh, upper room. He's at upper room. Okay. And he's talking to the apostles, and here's what he says. "And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep and the flock will be scattered." Next verse. Watch this, 32. "But after I have," what? Okay, let's wrap it together. "But after I have risen." Come on. "But after I have risen." Everybody, but after, who's he talking to? The apostles. He had already told them over and over and over, "I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to raise from the dead." But after I have risen, what's going to happen? "I will go before you to" what? Here's my point. Flip back to Mark. God had already told them this. Just like Jesus had already told the guys in the ship, "We are going, get in the ship because we are going to the other side." God wants us to believe beyond anything that we see, touch, feel, hear. Our aunts, our uncles telling us it'll never happen. You know what? You know what? God wants you to believe. He expects that you would believe him when he tells it to you. And it's so unusual that when the centurion says, "Jesus, you don't have to call over my house. All you have to do is" what? "Speak a word." That's all you have to do. I believe your words. And what God wants us to start to doing is rise up in faith, rise up our trust in God, and start believing God and what he said. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants the same thing that he wanted back then. Can I go on with this story? "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Did they already know this? They already knew this. That he is going before you to what? Did Jesus already tell them that? Already told them. There you will see him as he what? Only people who are really paying attention. When did Jesus say that to them? When they were in the upper room. I just read it to you. He's told them that. Now the angel is confirming, saying, just like he said, guys, he told you this was going to happen. He told you he was going to raise from the dead, and he told you before, hey, guys, hey, bros, I'll meet you. You know what? I'll meet you at Tommy's after the service. Right? That's what he's saying. I will meet you. Yeah, but they probably forgot. Are you kidding me? This is just like a week ago. Do you understand? Watch this. It just gets, it gets crazier. Somebody say those crazy apostles. Come on, somebody say those crazy apostles. Guys, this is almost unbelievable to read. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're not crazy like they were crazy. See, listen, every single one of us today, you're going to have an opportunity to believe God, or you're going to have an opportunity to doubt God. And God is saying, when I come back, am I going to find people who really put their trust in me? Gosh, you know what? I want to put my trust in God. Verse 8. So they went out quickly, and are you learning something today? Yeah. How am I glad you came today? Okay. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, from out of whom he cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they... I don't understand why Jesus doesn't even know if he's going to find anybody who trusts him when he comes back. Well, here's a good reason. Because he found very few that would trust him when he was there. It just gets, I say better, but it gets worse, okay? Watch this. After that, he appeared to another form to many of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest. Somebody help me preach this. But they... They didn't believe either. Okay, now everybody say time out. Okay. Time out. Here's what I want you to catch. I want you to catch Jesus' reaction to them. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His reaction to them is, are you kidding me? Really? I turned the water into wine. You saw it. I raised up Lazarus from the dead. You saw it. I told you, you wanted to argue with me, and I told you, roll away the stone. You're like, oh, it's going to stink. Don't worry about that. I'm going to raise him from the dead. You saw it. You saw it when I went into the temple, and I told that guy, stretch out your arm. He had a withered arm. How did he do that? I don't even know. How does he do that? He does that in trusting God. If I got to do it like this, I'm going to stretch out my hand, but I got to do it the other hand. I don't know. It makes so. God speaks to somebody with a withered hand, and he says, stretch out your hand. He looks at the apostles, and he says, hey, how are we going to feed these people? He tells Thomas, How are we going to feed him? What's he trying to do? He's trying to get us to start to step into a world of supernatural. Start to step into a world of trusting God. Start to step into a world that God says, you know what? With me, all things. Thomas, with me, all things are possible. See, and that's the same God and what he wants to tell us today. And we got all kinds of friends. We got even pastors who are telling us, oh, you better not believe. You can't. You never know what God is going to do. What are we doing? As we have these poignant scriptures right there in the Bible, and we're just walking away. I don't want to be the one that God says, comes back and says, you know what? You know what, Drew? Why wouldn't you believe me? I told it to you. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the example. I don't want to be that example to Shayla and Megan and Tyler, my wife. I don't want to be that example to you. And God is saying, what? Look at verse 10, later. See, let me tell you what. God isn't going to let this rest, guys. Listen, I love God. One of the reasons I love God is he makes correction when he needs to make correction.
Oh, I'll just walk away.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then he looks at the apostles as they're walking away. Let me just tell you the truth. God says some tough things. How many know God says some tough things? Here, let me just talk about one example. We're going to go back to this in a minute. Y'all got time? Y'all learning something today? Okay. Y'all ready to have lunch? Somebody say, not yet. No, not, oh yeah, not yet is the proper response. Let me just deal with one area. But there's all kinds of areas that God tells us tough things. Here, the area of forgiveness. You know what he says? He says, here's, Pastor, who do I need to forgive? Here's what God says. Tough. Everyone. Every single person who's done you wrong, little or big, walk in forgiveness. Everyone. You are to forgive everyone. Yeah, but Pastor, that's hard. Well, like my dad used to tell me, you know what? When the going gets tough, what? The tough get going. Man, God, don't tell me anything hard. I just want a cheese puff. I mean, no, God tells you some things that are hard sometimes. Here's what you need to forgive everyone. You need to forgive everyone. Well, here, watch this. And do it quickly. When did you say that? What do you think he was saying when he said, don't let the sun set on your anger? What does he think he's saying? I'll tell you what, you know what, Carol, I'm mad at you, but I got six more hours. Wow. God is not saying that. God is saying you forgive them quickly. That's what he's saying. He's talking figuratively. You know what? Don't let the sun set on your anger. Stop it. You need it for who do you need to forgive? Everyone. And when do you need to do it? Right now, quickly. Forgive everyone. Do it right now. Oh, here's a good one. And even if that sucker keeps on doing it over and over and over and over and over and over again. What about that? Yeah, what about that? You know, what about that? What about that? Tough. If that person keeps on coming 7 times a day, you would want to say, God, are you serious? Yes, he's serious. Because sometimes God tells you to do things that are tough.
That's right.
Oh, here. Throw this one in. We're just talking about one subject. What about this one? What about this one? And watch this. And I know this will mess up your theology, but understand this. You can't get better theology than Jesus.
That's right.
You are not going to correct Jesus' theology. Jesus didn't go, oh my goodness, I guess I didn't understand the power of grace. I mean, Jesus understands the power of grace. And Jesus is the one who says, if you don't forgive these people their sins, neither will my Father in heaven forgive them your sins. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Listen, you know what? Your theology, Jesus' theology. You're right, Jesus is right. I pick Jesus. All day long. I'm not saying that these things are easy. I'm saying that God will ask you to do all kinds of... Can I tell you what's really hard? Can I tell you what's really hard? What's really hard is you keep on walking in that unforgiveness. See how that works out for you. Amen? You keep on holding on to that sin, whatever the sin is. Lust, you know what, selfishness, greed, whatever it is. You just keep on holding on to it. Watch what will happen. God is not telling you to stop something because he doesn't love you. He's telling you to stop that behavior because he does love you. Oh, my goodness. Worship team, can you come on up? How many ready to do some worship today? How many ready to do some worship today? Your pastor, I thought you just preached all. No. We worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just wrap this up. Verse 14. Jesus appeared to the 12 as they sat at the table. They didn't believe. Jesus is going to come back and bring correction. And he rebuked their unbelief and their what? He rebuked their unbelief and their, here's what I want you to catch, and their hardness of their heart. Oh. I saved kind of the best for last, because right here, guys, get up there on the screen as soon as you can, because I want you to connect. Unbelief, Jesus connects with what's really going on in your heart, which is a hardness in your heart. There's a hardness in your heart. Tamara, I'm going to order a steak. What kind of steak do I want? How do I want my steak cooked? My wife says rare. Wow, she was right. I want it rare. Tamara, we're ordering some. I get salad before I get my steak. What kind of salad dressing do I want on my steak? On the salad, blue cheese. Oh, bingo! She's right. Do I want it on the side? What do I want for dessert? Chocolate cake, chocolate shake, chocolate mousse, chocolate cookie. You know what? Don't give me strawberry something, okay? I mean, if that's all you got, I'll eat the strawberry something. That's not, but here, she knows it, right? Tamara, what is my favorite hairstyle on you? Actually, you're wrong on that. My favorite hairstyle is, I don't have a favorite hairstyle. You know why? Because I love it when she wears it curly, and I love it when she wears it straight, and I love it when she does that flu-flu thing. I don't even know what to call that. Okay. And here's what I'm telling you. How come she knows I like my steak rare? Because I tell her, honey, and if it's cooked medium, I say, hey, I like it rare. She knows because I tell her what I want. Listen to me. God is trying to tell us something. He wants us to stop believing other people and start to put our trust in him. And even if it goes against what your mind is telling you. Put your trust in him. Remember the man, he comes to Jesus, and Jesus is, he says, my daughter is sick to the point of death. Remember this story? See, these stories are in your Bible. You know why I'm not going to? You know why I could preach this for another 4 hours? Because it's story after story after story. God is trying to communicate to his people, I am looking for you to put your trust in me. This man comes to him and says, my daughter is sick to the point of death. In the meantime, the servants come and say, hey, she's dead, don't bother him anymore. And Jesus gets this man aside and says, hey, look. Just believe me. What is God saying to you all? I can't do this to you all. He's saying, hey, look. Pay attention. I know what they're all saying. I know what your aunts are saying, your uncles are saying, all kinds of people are saying, you know what, just put your trust in me. That's what he's saying. How many hearing what God's saying to you today? I'm just asking, how many would say, Pastor, I think I needed, listen, if you're good, you're good. Praise God. But how many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I really needed to hear this sermon today.